Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What is vision? Some man defined vision as the picture that makes your heart run and race as we think of what God can do in our lives. There are some names that comes to mind when we think of visionaries in our world. When you think of Thomas Edison, you think of a man who brought the light bulb to shine on humanity. But that man, he made many mistakes before he finally created the light bulbs. You know, when he made another mistake, he said, I found another way in which it cannot be done. And he kept trying. Failure is not when you fail once. Failure is when you finally quit. He made many failures, yet he kept trying to do something. His vision was to transport electricity to every house in every nation. He had a vision to give something to humanity. Another man by the name of Alexander Bell. He was a teacher to the deaf. And he had a vision that one day, people all around the world, from one end of the world to another, would be able in their own homes, in their own nation, communicate one with another, from a distance, and just hear each other's voice exactly as it is. You know, to you, this might be nothing really. You grew up with all these things. You know, when I went to IT, to university to study IT, you wouldn't actually know the things that we used to do. We had to know exactly what to do in every little bit. It was binary that we learnt about. It was on and off, nothing else. We used to write on cards each statement of the program, and each character had to be done on a column in such a way where you actually just blank it out, or later on you can actually go into the lab and punch these cards on a typewriter. Then you sort these cards manually. Then you put them in through a card reader. You get your program. You debug your program. And the smart one used to be able to do it in less lines so that it would not take much memory. The first computers were just two floppy disks that we were working on. When I went from university into my first job, we used to have to share terminals in order to, program our lines, and everything was batch, nothing online. Today, the power that I have in my iPhone, I used to have in our whole computer room. But it never came there just in an instance. Different people thought of different things, and people actually had a vision of what could be accomplished. When God called me to ministry, God called me through a simple statement. And the simple statement that my pastor said was this: people study many, many years in order to serve physical need of humanity, or, the financial need of humanity, or economic need of humanity. But the greatest need of us as human is spiritual. You know, our world is changing, indeed. But there are some things that are not changing at all. Men are still always sinners. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there'll only be one way in which they can get to heaven, and that is through that name, blessed be forever. For there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we can be saved, save the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad. It thrills my soul to see so many young people sitting here at West Coast Baptist College preparing to go to serve the need that is most important to our humanity, that we'd bring people to Jesus Christ. But we need to have a vision in order to have success. You know, you can be either visionary, like Pastor Chappell, like what we see today, or you can be stationary. Somebody said you can either be a missionary or you can be a mission field. Well, I trust that many of you here, and not just come here to just gain a little bit more knowledge or, here to, prepare yourself for I don't know what's next or not even know what's in the future. I pray to God today that you would know what God have you to do. Have a vision. Those that had human visions, they were able to achieve for humanity what they achieved. But, you know, we really need to have that vision, which as sight, a mental sight in our minds, a dream or revelation, an oracle that God would give you from his own word so that you would know what he has for your own life. You know, today, when we talk about people like George Mueller or Charles Haddon Spurgeon or D.L. Moody, you know, each of them had a vision from God. What is your vision for our world today? You know, Pastor Chappell had a vision for Lancaster Baptist Church, for Lancaster City. And he has now a vision before us for the world through this missions conference. But what is your vision? Where are you going to get your vision from? I hope today that you would actually be always in the presence of God, seeking his will for your life. Because the truth is, we are not to compare ourselves with each other, but we are to truly know what God wants from me individually. You see, if I compare myself to other pastors, I would actually be depressed. I don't know what they're going to be able to do. It's always God, you know, God has always given each one of us certain abilities, certain talents, and we have to develop these things and know what he wants us to do with them. You know, it literally means that without, you know, this verse, what literally it means, without the word of God, without a revelation from God, without a vision from the Lord, the people would be absolutely impoverished. They'll be naked. They'll be very poor. Now, if you think about this today, you know, if we have not the word of God before us, I could stand before you and just waffle about different things. I can tell you about a lot of different things, about politics and about what's going on in the world today, and that, you know, it really doesn't matter. What matters is what God has to say to us. There are only one question that we have to ask ourselves this morning. Am I actually getting my vision from God? Or am I getting my visions from men around me? You see, when we look at the world today, we can get very depressed. We see empty pews in a lot of the churches. We see decaying Christianity in our world. We see secularism and humanism is on the move. And we think to ourselves, we're actually fighting a losing battle. But when we look at the Word of God, and we look into the face of the God of this word, then we know that we can be on the winning side. We know that we can have a dream, and we know that we can have a vision from God, and we know that we can achieve it because not of anything in us, but because of how he can work through you and me. I want to start first with the one that is not so visionary, stationary. Why do people get stationary? Why do they lose visions? Well, the first one that actually loses a vision is someone who's always going to be as a traditionalist. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way we're always going to do it. And we're just not going to change from this. You know, many times when, Paul the Apostle spoke, he actually spoke to stationary Christians in Galatia. And he actually told them, he said, you know, and he also speaks to the Hebrews in the book of Hebrews, and he told them as he found a group of people who were naming a name of Christ but had a problem. Their problem was on the one hand, they came to know salvation, but on the other hand, they could not let go of the old things that they were always holding on to. And, he says to the Galatians, you started well, you know, what happened to you that you've gone back to your old ways? And so many times people, you know, just when they get stuck in a rut, They just, you know, lose the visions that God would have them to following after. You know, we can either take the word of God literally, or be bound in such a way that we will just want to live the letter of the law, or we can let the Spirit of God work in our lives in such a way where we'll let the Spirit of God move us all towards the goals that He would have for us. You know, doctrine without power is word of God without the Spirit of God. You know, so many times we can fight about the things in the Word, but we fight about it in such a way where there is no Spirit of God. Harry Ironside said about these people, he said, they lack vision. The lack of vision will manifest itself in cold, dry, theologically or philosophically treatment of the Scripture as though given to exercise the intellect rather than the heart and the conscience. I hope tonight or today that you will not be a traditionalist. But you can also be stationary when you become a sentimentalist. You can become a sentimentalist. Someone who's sees that things are done in a certain way, and right through the church, people have actually held on to certain personalities or certain things that they've seen, and they say, "Oh, God will only bless this way." I've got news for you. God is not limited. God can do anything He sees fit to be done. Sometimes we put God in the box and we think He can't really act outside of that. You know, I'm not talking about the things that are out of His character. Yes, I know God cannot lie. Yes, I know that God would not do anything contrary to His word. But I'm thinking about the things that we think that that's the only way it can be done. You know what? If George Mueller were in our world today and he declared his vision, many people would have actually rejected him. Don't be afraid to follow after the vision that God has given you. Many of you might go to different countries and be in different cultures, and there'll be different ways in which you can actually reach these people. If this is the way that God would give you, just, you know, follow after that vision that God would give you. But I pray first and foremost that you would actually always make sure that you get vision from God. You see, sometimes we can have our own vision. That happened with me as I was pastoring. 1994, I became the senior pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And, I had kind of envisaged a 40-year plan for myself. Come from a business background. I did a lot of planning, project management. And I thought to myself, in the first 10 years, I'm going to build a good foundation of a church around me with men around me. And I'm just going to try and do things in such a way where we lay a good foundation for Faith Baptist Church. And then the next 10 years, I'm going to try and grow that church. And then the following 10 years, I'm going to try and start investing, training men around me. And then the last 10 years, I'm going to start handing over these things. That was my plan. We had a very small building, and the Lord was really blessing, and we started to win some more people to the Lord, and very soon we had a full small chapel. Our chapel basically sat about 120. At sometimes we actually put 180 in there. I'm pretty sure the council would have actually fined us if they knew what we were doing. But anyway, then we went on to two services. Then we went up even to a link-up service. We had another building on the beside the chapel that we used to meet in, and we put in a camera in there and link-up service into the other hall. And the other hall was a little bigger, and so we used to be able to seat about 160 comfortably in that one after doing some remodification to it. And the Lord was continuing to bless. Then we Then I had some vision, and we started buying houses behind. You see, Sydney is very small, and it lacks, there's not much more land there, and it's very, very expensive. So we bought a house behind the church, and then we bought a second house behind the church. And I thought to myself, well, we'll knock these houses down. Well, but we needed to buy a third one. Knock the three houses down. We'll actually build an education center on that side, and then we can knock down the little chapel and take the old hall and expand it, and then we can actually have a hall, an auditorium that can sit about, you know, 400 to 500. That's a great one. That was my plan. That's all human reasoning. Many people would actually challenge me sometimes and say, Pastor, would you move? I said, why would I move out of here? Yeah, we're in a great area. You know, I live in a great house next door to the church. We have a great church. You know, everything is going well. Why would we move? Until one day, I was just going through my daily devotion, and I was really heavy asking the Lord to, you know, lead us as to what we do at Faith Baptist Church. And that morning, I came across 2 Kings chapter 6. As I opened the book that morning, I always pray to the Lord that He speak to my heart, that, you know, before I pray, before I start reading, and then, you know, after I start reading, I just take time in prayer that help me to apply some of these things. I prayed that the Lord would challenge my heart. And as I started reading, I probably read that passage many times before, but it hit me in the face that morning. And it says, "At the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we all may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. I didn't go far that morning. I get back down on my knees and I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm having my vision. I want your vision. You see, when we get our vision from the Word of God, when the heart is pure and we go to the Word of God, the vision becomes very clear. That morning, I was no longer going to be holding on to anything that is mine, any of my reasoning, any of my planning, but I just wanted to God. I wanted God to just, you know, say, here's a clean sheet of paper, Lord. You tell me what I want to do. This is total commitment. It's not that I actually put my plans, put my desires and say, Lord, would you please just sign down here and stamp it for me, or stamp approval so I can go do it? Let me ask you this morning, do you have your plans? Or do you have God's plan? Do you have your own vision? Or do you have God's vision for your life? You see, many times we can actually go on to say, you know, I've got God's vision. But did you get that from the Word of God? I pray that you would serve your generation as David served his generation. You see what the Bible says about David in Acts 13, 36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. You see, each one of us here is responsible to win our generation. Just as Dr. Sisk was actually saying. It all makes sense at the end of the day. Every generation that is born in this world is born heathen. And it needs to be reached for Christ. Yes, that's why the Bible says, start in Jerusalem. At home. Then Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 43, 19, behold, I will do a new thing. What is the new thing that God is going to do in your life? I pray that you would not be a traditionalist, nor a sentimentalist, nor a pessimist. Because a pessimist sometimes is one who always can see things the wrong way. Remember the 12 spies that went into the land to spy the land? 10 came back and said, we can't do it. But 2 said, yes, we can. By God's grace and for God's glory, we can do it. And let me just say, missions can only be done by God's grace and for God's glory. If you try and do it in your own strength, by your own planning, it will not work. If you try and do it just so that you could just get yourself the name, then you will fail. One of my lecturers at Bible College always used to drill this into us and say, listen, to be confident in self is to be disappointed. I pray that your confidence would be truly in God and that you would be like Joshua and Caleb, who were true visionaries. You know, they didn't really see the giants. You know, if you look up, as we said, if you look at our world today, you can get very depressed. But if you look at the God of our word, and if you truly look to get a vision from the word, then he will give you a vision. The Lord Jesus Christ was the greatest visionary. He had a vision of sinful humanity and redeeming people with his own blood for himself. That was his vision for the world. What did he do? It says that he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He knew the purpose of God for his life. He set himself straight. He gave his life. He denied himself. He did everything to get that vision as he hung upon that cross. And as he shouted, as we heard yesterday in that song, it is finished. You know, when you run a race, you ought to run a race in such a way where when you reach the finish line, you've got no more breath in your strength. Because if you have any more strength in you, that means you didn't give it your best shot. And if you run out of breath before you finish, you failed. See, we really need to have that balance in our life. And only by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can actually pace our life in such a way that when we reach that finish line, we reach it with all of our strength. Yes, I want to burn my candle, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling his purpose for my life. When John Patton decided to go to Arinjaya, where Brother E is, you know, they said to him, and at that time, you know, the tribes of part of the world were actually cannibals. I met some in Vanuatu when we went up to the highlands of Vanuatu, who said to me that my grandparents were actually cannibals. Anyway, when John Patton decided to go there, one of the old men in the church came to him, and he really loved John. He said, Brother John, you aren't going to a place where they're going to probably eat you. He said, well, my body is going to be eaten by worms one day, and might as well just be eaten for God's glory. Listen, when you set yourself before the Lord and total consecration, you can truly fulfill the vision that God would give you from his word. It's this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he said, you know, he said this about his vision. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, it's this, that God will manifest himself in direct proportion to your passion and your vision. He said these words, if you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you. I pray to God today that you would be a person who would seek him with all of your heart. You know, there was a company that one time sent a shoemaker to Africa to try and sell him shoes. He wrote back to the headquarters saying, I'm coming back home because people here don't wear any shoes. So he came back home. They sent another guy, and he sent a telegram saying, could you please send us a lot of people because the people here don't wear any shoes and we need a lot of shoemakers. Would you send a lot of shoes? You see, the difference is the way he looked at it. You can look into the Word of God and, you know, not see anything. But through the Spirit of God, you can see what God wants from your life. The difference between a visionary and a stationary Christian is that a stationary Christian sees things and asks, why? But a visionary Christian looks at things and say, why not? Why not? It can be done. By God's grace and for God's glory, it can be done. The poorest man on earth is not he who has no money, but the poorest man on earth is he who has no vision. I'll tell you the honest truth. God's work done God's way will lack no resources. I'll tell you the honest truth. If you try to look after yourself, you'll always be running after a mirage. But if you let God look after you, by you looking after his business, then you'll be looked after in such a great way that you don't know how it will happen. When I stepped out of IT, you know, I don't really like to brag about this, but to God be all the glory. You know, I was making a lot of money. But I tell you the honest truth, I never enjoyed much of it. When I stepped into ministry, I probably was making about 1 over 20 of what I was used to make. But I enjoyed every bit of it. And sometimes, I always saw I had needs. When I was making a lot of money, there was never enough, Dr. Sisk. But when we stepped out in the ministry and we trusted God, we always had more than enough. Young people, to the glory of God, just have a vision to please him. Have a vision to always be totally consecrated to him. Yes, you can trust him. He is the one that will guide your life. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the center of all civilizations. He is the superlative of all excellence. He's the sum of human greatness. He's the source of divine grace. His name is the only one able to save, and his blood is the only power able to cleanse. His ear is open to the sinner's call. His hand is quick to lift the fallen soul. He's the eternal lover of us all, everyone, and you can trust him. He supplies mercy for the struggling soul. He sustains the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes with the wounded and broken. He strengthens the weak and the weary. He guards and guides the wanderer. He heals the sick and cleanses the leper. He delivers the captive and defends the helpless and binds up the brokenhearted. He's for you, and you can trust him. Jesus is the key to all knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the door of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness, and the gateway to glory. Yes, you can trust him. Jesus is enough. He's all sufficient. He's the king. He's the king of the Jews, the king of Israel, the king of righteousness. He's the king of all ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. And yes, again, you can trust him. And rejoice in this, that he is sovereign king. There is no gauge to measure his limitless love. There is no barrier to block his blessings outpoured. He is enduringly strong, and he's entirely supreme. He's eternally steadfast and immortally faithful. He is imperially powerful and impartially merciful. Jesus, he's the Son of God, and you can trust him. I wish I could tell you more accurately to describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You cannot outlive him, and you cannot live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't fault him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't conquer him, and the grave could not hold him. My friends, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the God of the future and the God of the past. And when we rise to speak his name again and again, Jesus is the only Savior in the world, and he is the only one that can give you your vision to a lost and dying world, I plead with you today, get your own vision from the Word of God and be a visionary. And what a great examples we have for our lives. We praise God for them. And I truly tell you, when I come to this place, I am absolutely thrilled to see what the Lord is doing amongst the people of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. My prayer is for you, and it thrills my soul to see so many young people. But I pray that you all will go on for Christ. I pray that it wouldn't happen just like any other place. Many colleges, I look at some of the people that have graduated with me from college. It's sad to say, but 80% of the people that I actually went to college with are no longer serving the Lord. Why? Because somewhere they became stationary. They forgot about, like Peter the Apostle says, they became blind, short-sighted, that is, forgetting the forgiveness of their sins. Oh, that we would remember and always praise Him, and all that we humble ourselves under His hand, that we'd always get a vision for our lives from Him.